Hi, I'm Paul Camillos from Shooting the Breeze podcast. Join the STB crew for conversations and stories around women's hoops and women in hoops, inspiring players, amazing coaches, and the legends behind the scenes. It's our seventh season. Drop us a like and review, and make sure to subscribe for early access and other bonus content.
But I actually got real emotional and really teary. It hit me, and I think they're the special moments. That's when you understand that you're playing for a, or coaching or being part of a special country that is deep in culture, and it drives a lot. And I'm actually getting a little bit emotional thinking about it now, but I love that. I love that we can tap into that when days are tough.
Welcome to Shooting the Breeze. I'm your host, Paul Camillos, and on this pod, we're being joined by our New Zealand experts, Lyndon Moore and Maya Williamson, and we're going to be talking with Nat Hurst, who's transitioned from player to coach and stepped onto the international stage as head coach for the New Zealand Tall Ferns. There's a lot to talk about here after the recently completed Trans-Tasman Throwdown Series, where the Tall Ferns pushed the Opals and showed a growing confidence in their abilities. These results are a positive sign for what is a young and inexperienced team who've shown what they're capable of. It's great to have you all here on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Always great having you guys on, and great having you back, Nat. It's been a while since we had you on the show. I think it's like quite a few seasons back.
Yeah, it's a few things have changed since then, but it's nice to be back.
Cool.
I think that's our cue, Maya. We're going to jump in. But first, I just want to say really, really excited. Thank you for coming on with us, Nat. I know we've been fans of yours and all of your work, and just want to congratulate you first off on a great series and for stepping into this new era. And as a thank you for helping, you know, just be part of the New Zealand basketball legacy. So it's really cool to, you know, have you on board and what you're doing.
I mean, ditto back to you guys. I did listen to the podcast where you guys were on here talking all things Tall Ferns. And, you know, you did touch on that it is a kind of changing the guard a little bit. I have copped a little bit of flack, but the confidence that you guys showed in, you know, myself and the direction that you can see us going in definitely was a great listen to get myself into Trans-Tasman. So, yeah, appreciate your kind words as well.
Yeah, of course. I think you're really deserving of that. And I, like, feel really sad that New Zealand basketball fans had that to say about you. And definitely not a reflection of anything that is within your capability. I think New Zealanders just have weird tall poppy syndrome. But, yeah, like, we obviously are major New Zealand basketball fans and have a lot of belief in you and saw a lot from you on the Tall Ferns. So, yeah, you've got our vote 100% of the way.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to jump in and say I think it's also important for New Zealand basketball also, and we've said this before, if the skill that they're looking for isn't within New Zealand, and that's not to say that there's bad coaches, it's just that you're looking for a particular skill set. It's important to look outside, because that's how everything grows in terms of the sport, in terms of coaching talent, in terms of the player talent as well.
I'm lucky enough that they looked outside. So, yes, there's wonderful coaches in New Zealand. You know, I get to work with and chat with some ones that probably could have stepped into this role, but, you know, I am lucky enough to be sitting in it, and, you know, hopefully I can help drive where people want to see this squad go.
Like, you've obviously done a really good job so far. You had that interim stint, and, like, the Trans-Tasman Throwdown was probably a really big challenge for you to step up to after just being officially named as head coach. It's like, oh, go play a three-game series against Australia. Good luck. But I think you can probably be really encouraged. I reckon that's some of the best results that New Zealand's had against Australia in the women's game in a very long time. And understandably, didn't get a win, but I don't think that necessarily any of the scorelines in the end reflected just how well you guys played. So, yeah, you must have some really good thoughts on how you competed, especially in the first and third games of the series.
Yeah, look, we're pretty happy with 2.5 games. Obviously, you know, the first half of that second game, no one was happy with. We got jumped from the start. We knew that, you know, the Opals would come out and continue to apply that pressure. But even the second half of that game, credit to the girls that came out of halftime, you know, they had a bit of a talking to about just staying tough, being tough, staying together, and to come out and win a third quarter after being down by 30 when the Opals didn't, you know, let up, and then to come close in the fourth quarter. So, you know, 2.5 games of a series that, you know, we were debuting a lot of rookies. We were super pleased. We didn't get a win, but we found that we had a lot of wins in a lot of other areas. So we were stoked where we ended up. But I said to the girls, now this is like, you know, this is the first part of foundation. You guys have set this standard. It's a pretty good standard that you've set so far, and we've only been together for a week. So we've got a lot of building to do, but we walked away feeling not too bad about ourselves and kind of saw the vision to where we can go with it.
Watching the game in Adelaide, you know, we were lucky enough to be there to watch it. One of the things that really impressed me was the way the team fought back. You know, the gaps would open up. I mean, it got out to like a nearly 20-point break at one point, and you guys fought back and brought it back to within 1 or 2 points. You know, the final scoreline really didn't reflect the effort that the team put in to be able to close those gaps. It was really quite impressive to watch, particularly understanding the number of new players that were in the squad.
Yeah, look, I knew how tough they were because we just had flogged them for 3 days on the, you know, at a training camp. So I knew the general toughness of the group, but I didn't realize how deep that went. And we could have easily folded in the second quarter of the first game. You know, I think it got out to about 15-17. And they're fighters. They fought. They got back on track, were able to get momentum back. And to get momentum back against an Opals team who's applying a lot of pressure is not easy to do. So the way that they stuck together, came together, talked through what we need to talk through. And, again, we'd had 4 practices together with a complete new system, complete new staff, and, again, a bunch of rooks. So the fact that we could work through that, but just the general toughness of the girls was unbelievable. And I think they continue to show that through every game, and especially into that last game as well, when, you know, playing in front of our home fans, they wanted to make sure that we brought that for 40 minutes. And I feel like there was a time there where we definitely got under the Opal skin, and, you know, that's a win in itself.
Yeah, all about those benchmarks. And again, you know, it was said earlier that, you know, there's so much to be proud of, and it's not necessarily reflected in the stat line, but there's a lot of growth. And I think that a lot of people in New Zealand and fans will know this, but people who are listening from outside, maybe not. You know, like you said, they don't get a lot of time together in camp. And so trying to figure out, okay, a whole new system within 4 days, and you can still crack one of the best teams in the world, or at least get under their skin, is pretty dang good. And in order to do that, there's got to be people who step up. So who in your eyes really helped spearhead that?
Yeah, look, I think Sean Rabadi came in and led the way. Just generally with everything she did, from the first shot of the, you know, our first make in game one to all the way through game three. Whether her stats reflected that in game three, I feel like she drove that for us. And then we just had people step up at different times. So Tegan Graham, for me, high IQ player, didn't realize how smart that lady is. Whatever she lacks in lateral or movement, she makes up for in smart. She's like a step ahead of everyone. That, you know, that was really pleasing for us. You know, McKenna Dow did the things at times. Ezra, you know, drove us as a captain through the series, and then really stepped up in that last game. You know, Emmy Shearer, we saw signs of it. You know, Palace, you got dogged for 40 minutes in 3 games, and 17-year-old kid and didn't let up. And bless her heart, was she just wanted to reduce her turnovers, you know, as the games went. And she only had 2 in the last game, and she was stoked. But for, like, the game is the biggest teacher, and for her to get that experience against, you know, the likes of Steph Reid and Maddie Rocci, and they did not let up. They did not want. And she got little wins in games against them, and she was able to just continue to grow and see what she could do through 3 games. You know, Bailey in the same boat. You know, still finishing school, hasn't gone to college yet. So there was a bunch of people, I think, at different times, but I definitely think, you know, Sean led from the front in that respect.
Yeah, that's so interesting you touched on that, because I had that as a talking point about Palace. Was obviously you started with Ella Brow as your initial point guard, but obviously changed to Palace just the way that she handled that pressure. But you're right, like, she sometimes just gets a little too deep in the paint and, like, turns the ball over. And Steph Reid is ferocious. I talked to Crystal Edgewalker about it, and she was even saying, you know, she's probably our best point guard in New Zealand, Crystal, And she was saying, like, she wouldn't want to be guarded by Stephanie Reed full court for 40 minutes. So, yeah, Pally's, like you said, a 17-year-old kid. And she has dealt with international pressure, but only at her own age group. So I think, yeah, it was really cool to see her actually get challenged and pushed like that. And I think it's good for her development. But I am interested, like, she must have lost a bit of confidence turning the ball over the amount of time she did. Like, was there anything that you had to do to help her mentally along that journey or just bounce back?
You know, it's funny because I think at such a young age, she's actually a little bit naive in the respect that, oh, I've thrown the ball away. And she kind of just like lets it bounce off her back and off she goes to the next. We did get stuck into her a little bit. I don't care about the turnovers. It's about, for me, what Pallas does next. So if, you know, Pally gets a turnover and drops her head and allows, you know, Steph to take the ball and go get a layup, then that's what I'll be on. But they know that it's okay to make mistakes. It's just about how we react and what we do. And, you know, she just continued to push and push and push and try and lead the team the best way she could. We gave her a lot of crap because she kept spinning. And I said, every time you spin, Steph Reed is going to strip the basketball. I think we saw in game two, she played about 20 seconds and got taken off the floor. And I said, what do you think I subbed you for? She goes, I fouled. I'm like, no, mate, the spin. So she just like little things like that just kind of bounce off her and Bailey, which is a slightly frustrating as a coach, but also super awesome because typically a young female gets on themselves and they drop their head for the next 5 minutes. Pally and Bailey, they just keep rocking and rolling, and that's what I actually love about them.
Yeah, I love that so much. And yeah, you can kind of tell Pally's just like, she's not aware of the fairies at all. She's very much there, but you can tell that she's just a competitor and it's like, oh, well, like, go get my own again. And I think that's really cool, like, to do against woman. And then I was going to ask same thing about Bailey. I thought that she was quite tentative in game one, given that her identity is to be a scorer. She's done that at all levels. So I was kind of curious, was that a conversation you had, or was that just a matter of, like, Bailey just naturally progressing into the series?
Yeah, look, I think Bailey probably put a lot of pressure on herself into game one to want to perform. You know, Dad's there coaching the men's team. You know, she's playing against the Opals. She's been playing NBL1 in Australia, so people are starting to understand who, you know, Bailey Flavel is. So I think just the pressure that she applied to herself in game one, and we just said, mate, just be you. We know she's great in the open court. We want her to take that. If anyone goes under a ball screen, she needs to shoot the basketball. I think she was just second-guessing a lot of things that she was doing. So we mentioned a couple of times to her after game one, you know, she sees a little bit of film. What should you have done? Shot the ball? Yes. Go shoot the basketball because that's what you're good at. And, you know, she usually makes pretty good decisions. She doesn't force a lot of bad shots. So I'm okay with her taking that. And I think it was just reminding her of what her strengths are. And the make or the miss is irrelevant. It's the decision-making behind, you know, with the shots that she takes and doesn't take.
I was just going to ask, because you mentioned that thing about, you know, players drop their heads. And how important is that for you as a coach to be able to, you know, teach people that it's okay to make mistakes? Because, you know, it tends to go totally against everything that we get taught. And how do you deal with that?
I think it's just reminding them that, like, what's a good mistake? That's what I remind them. What's a good mistake? Where you throw it out of bounds and we get to set up our defense. Where maybe it comes off your foot, but you stay in the play and you can slow it down. And it's not, again, I just remind them it's not about the mistake. I will never be on anyone for a mistake. I will get on them for what they do next. So, and I think it's just the fact that they are comfortable in that. And yes, we need to remind them every day, and I'm okay to remind them every day that it's about how they react. And I feel like they reacted really well. And if they didn't, we had a great team around them that would remind them what needs to happen. So it wasn't just a message coming from me. It was also the positive message coming from their teammates as well. Or if you don't react right after, you're actually letting your teammates down, and no one wants to let their teammates down, right? So no one, like I said, no one cares about the error. Everyone just wants you to do the team thing next and stay in the play.
Yeah, saying for sure. And I think in that style and that approach, imagine if coming in as a player, you know, having a coach that cares, saying, yes, we got to perform, but it's not going to be, you know, detrimental if we make the mistake. But again, like you said, it's how you react. But to get to that point, you've got to build a connection with the players and make them feel safe. And you said in previous pods that you've done talking about leading from the front, and you're very big on that. And with the short space of time that you've had with this team, how have you gone about building those connections with the players? Because the players I've spoken to, just they said the vibe has been great. They're really enjoying playing under you and stuff like that, but it takes time to get there. So how do you do that?
I got to spend a little bit of time with some of them in Mexico. So we had started a relationship there. There was a lot of FaceTime calls pre-camp, a lot of annoying coach Nat check-ins with them. And we're not there yet. Like, I think we've got a ways to go, and we'll always have to continue to build on relationships. But for me, it's like the person first, the player second. And yes, we want them to perform, but you're not going to perform if you're not feeling good about where you are, what you're doing. You're not going to have a good time. And I need them to be performing at an elite level to where I can flog them in a training camp and they will show up and play three bloody hard matches against the Aussies. So I think we were able to start that. And again, it's all fun and games at the start and things are a little bit easier. It's when we get into the nitty-gritty of tournaments that we're going to really show how we've built those connections. But it's just going to take time, and it's not there. It's not completely there. It's far from being there, and it's a work on that I think we need to do with myself and player to player every day. And that was one of the messages that I left them with, was don't just go silent on your teammates now. This feels good in the change room right now, but we need to continue to build. We need to continue to understand each other, what we like, what we don't like, who needs quiet time, who wants to sleep, who needs someone to have a coffee with. It's about all those little intangible things and just really understanding who everyone is and why we're there. Why do we spend a lot of time on the floor, away from families, having a sore body, being mentally tired? And I think Mel Bennett did a great job of just reminding everyone about our why. And I think when you bring it back to that as well, you're like, yes, this is why I'm here and this is why I do it. And again, those connection pieces, again, they're going to take time. And they weren't perfect. And we did have some discussions within the group, and that's okay, because I am a very open and I'm okay with the girls coming to me as long as we can have that open discussion, the back and forth. And I think that's what helps start to find those connections within everyone. And it's different. You know, I'm trying to connect with a 17-year-old and a 28-year-old, and I'm in my 40s. So it's just about finding those little things. I did almost put myself in a TikTok just to, say that I am still cool and young. But I got out of the last second, but Bailey and Pally thought they hadn't. So, those little things where they can see that, coach is still a person too and likes to have some fun, and not everything needs to be fully serious and about basketball as well. So
I would have loved to see that. I would have loved to see it. You look great for your 40, by the way. I can't believe it. So great job. What you touched on there I thought was really interesting was that you said, some of the stuff that you focused on in terms of connections wasn't perfect, and you probably had plenty of time to reflect. I think basketball-wise as well, I can understand that you probably had to prioritize a lot of things about your system that you wanted to implement before the Trans-Tasman throwdown. So you would have had to not cover stuff that you would probably cover if you had a season with them. Were there any things that you kind of look back now and wish that you had covered basketball-wise or system-wise that ended up hurting you? Does that make sense?
I feel like it's that. Yeah, I toss and turn between each game, and we didn't have practices between any games. So we weren't able to kind of build on our system. We rolled in three games with one baseline and one sideline just because we couldn't add. We just couldn't get the girls on the floor and the travel and all that kind of stuff. So it was hard to build. So once we had our four practices, that was it. So we walked through a press break. We didn't get our zone stuff in. We didn't get our own press in. We had other sets that we would have loved to have run. And, I could have drawn them up by game three, but by then we're thinking, okay, if Korea or Indonesia are looking at us and scouting us right now, there's no point. Let's just roll with and get kind of good at some of the stuff we've already put in. There's a bunch of stuff that I wish I had time for. I'm not upset we didn't do it, but it would have been handy. It would have been handy in some moments, yes.
Four practices is just outrageous. You just can't do that. It's just not a lot of time at all, especially given by the time, you warm up, you can't just straight go into 5-on-5. So, that's really tough. So kudos. Yeah.
And, the poor girls, they got information sent to them pre-camp video, and I did hear they're like, there's so much video. I'm like, yeah, because we have no time on the floor. Buggers, they literally didn't rest between trainings. I was sending them videos, but that's the only way that we could do it. Had we have had our time again, would I change anything? Probably not. I would have hoped that, maybe we had a little bit more time in between sessions and stuff. And again, it was a two-hour session training, couldn't go over. That was it. So it's not like we could stay there and walk for 20 more minutes or 30 more minutes. So the amount of information that the girls actually absorbed, for us to even look like we did something every now and again, you know, is incredible that they could actually bring some of the training out into the floor in those three games, especially with how we're being pressured.
My goodness, just trying to even imagine tackling the thought of having, here's a whole new system. We have no time. We have four practices and that's it. And we can't, we literally have to learn on the run as you go. And then, by the way, we're going to be traveling between two countries in between, which, although is not as big of a distance as some, it's still not a small feat, logistically having to do that on top of learning. And these girls, and a lot of them are younger too.
Yeah, and like after, you know, the second game, we're up till almost midnight having dinner and we left at 5 o'clock the next morning. So like, even then, it's just like, to review, like, things are tough. Yeah, so credit to them because we threw so much stuff at them and I still haven't thrown everything at them. So there's more to come, girls. There's more to come.
This is just what was your sleep schedule like?
Sleep, when I got home.
2 hours here and there.
Mate, I didn't even get to nap. Well, I feel bad because the girls didn't get to nap and they said that they reminded me yesterday how much it was on. I'm like, yeah, but I didn't get to nap either. Like, yeah. I was exhausted too. Was I doing the physical stuff? No, but it was pretty brutal, even for myself. And like I said, like, I'm just on the sideline coaching. All my stuff's up here and they've got to do that and be physical as well. So yeah, it was tough. They did remind me that next time we have a camp, they need their downtime. I'm like, yeah, well, maybe we won't come into a Trans-Tasman series against Opals like this again, but who knows?
Just seemed like getting a glimpse of, so I was fortunate enough to speak to a couple of the players. The media team was gracious enough to let me do that. So I had a little bit of a window into what the day looked like. And Kim, I think coming right before or after one of your team meetings, and you could tell because I was just kind of doing a general check-in with them, like, how are you doing? They're just like tired, and I was like, well, if I was playing the Opals every other night, I would be as well. And on top of everything else, but it was still international competition, and then for the fact that a lot of these girls they talked about, some of them were familiar with each other, some of them had played with one another. Others, they were just kind of like, oh, hi, this is the first time. We're going to kind of see how this goes. And I just want to say that kind of a two-parter, but the first one is spoke to Tegan. And, you know, you looking at the stat line, for sure, you know, you see she's one of the many who put in that hard mahi and really kind of saying, you know, high IQ player. But I asked her, it was the debutante. She said, you know, when you're young and you grow up, you hope to be part of the national team, and that's something that, you know, most players would aspire to do most likely. And she does, you know, but when you're far away and you live abroad for so many years, she says, you know, you kind of start to think that dream is kind of suddenly starting to putter out a little bit and you don't get that chance. And so she does, I'm just so thankful that Coach Nat and the team had faith in me that I could come in and contribute. So I just wanted to glad that was that one was very heartwarming. But you know, talking about
she took a piece of my heart. She's built different. She's a tough bugger, but I'm glad that she popped up on our depth chart, and I'm glad that we took the time to look into her video. And she definitely you know, planted a seed that she's here to play.
Good. Well, it's fabulous. And having an Emmy as well. And I mean, all of them, it means a lot to be in that system. And so, just again, as a spectator, really cool to see how kind of you guys are all working together to make that happen. But again, this is international competition at the end of the day. And so you've coached at different levels, and successfully. How do you find the level of intensity with the international competition, and what do you enjoy about it?
I think as a past player of it, you know, FIBA level basketball is, and I think we all saw it at the Olympics in the men's and the women's, how physical and fast it was and how great the style of basketball was that you want to play. And I think probably annoyed us a little bit in the second game is we kind of got blown out of the game in the first quarter by the refs, and we couldn't feel like we couldn't get into it because we want to be as physical as other teams. We want to be able to push the ball like other teams. So I think as a past player of it, I love the physicality, and that's why I just love coaching this group, because they brought that. and I didn't really need to ask for it. It was just kind of natural. And then once we are able to find our pace within it, and I think that's probably what got us at the start of the first game, is all the young ones, they had their first stint and they were better in their second. And I said to them, well, man, it's pretty fast out there. And they're like, yeah. So I think it just kind of was a big smack in the face that everyone's first run, even Emmy, I don't think she knew what was coming at her. Once we get used to the style and the physicality, we're going to be okay, but we need time for that. We've had three great hit outs against a great team. It is going to take us a little bit longer, because then you'll come up against, you know, an African team that'll just beat the absolute whatever out of you. You'll come up against a Europe team that'll slow it down and be meticulous in the half court. So I think it's just going to be about us continuing to work and work with different styles, but remembering who we are and how we want to play and continue to build on that as well. But yeah, I just love the physicality and the pace of the international basketball. And I love that we endeavoured to do that ourselves and play the style that we want to be and show the team that we want to be as well.
Yeah, I love that you touch on that, because I think you're right. Like, Australia is definitely known like for their pace and their space, and then their defensive intensity is just out the gate at all times. And I think New Zealand for a long time has tried to model their game similarly around that. Like, we're probably quite similar in our styles of play, but I think we probably lack a little bit of that defensive intensity that the Aussies have, just up the floor all the time, like perimeter up as well. So yeah, I would love to know from your perspective, having coached in Australia and now coaching a Kiwi style of play, like, were there a lot of key differences? And yeah, I guess on that as well, you can probably especially speak to that culture piece, like the Māori culture that's integrated into coaching New Zealand basketball as well, and how that's been for you.
Yeah, I think we look at the Opals and they're a top three team in the world, and you want to take pieces from them, but we don't want to be like, we want to be them. We want to be us, with bits that we see, and we take a bit from here and a bit from there. I think our girls, because we had a lot that have gone to college now, they understand, they played a different style. I think we have a lot that play in Australia, play against these players. So I don't think it's so much a, oh my gosh, anymore. I think it's, oh yeah, this is how we play. Now it's just amped up because it's international basketball and it's bringing that together. I think Opal style being up the floor, we would love to be more like that. I think we showed in the quarter court that we had patches when we played our system that we were pretty good. So I was happy with that, but we need to also be able to extend that up the floor as well. So something that we'll work on. But again, no time to even talk about it. Can we make adjustments? Absolutely. But we'll get there. And then the culture piece, you know, I'm still learning. I love it. I got to do a waiata at the welcoming to the Opals at game three. And no joke, I sung my lungs out. I was learning those. And I say it, and, you know, Kiwis are like, there's like six words that. But I was like, no, I need to understand and I need to be able to sing it. But I actually got real emotional and really teary. It hit me, and I think they're the special moments. That's when you understand that you're playing for or coaching or being part of a special country that is deep in culture, and it drives a lot. And I'm actually getting a little bit emotional thinking about it now, but I love that. I love that we can tap into that. When days are tough, you can, you know, Mel brings us in and she says a prayer, and she always says, I'll translate. I'm like, you don't translate today, because maybe I don't understand everything. I am picking up some words here or there, but it hits. And I think what also hits me is that I see the players, they all calm down and they all come together, and it just brings us tighter. And I think Mel is so special in that space, that she's doing such a great job at bringing that culture piece and reminding us of that every day. And, you know, when I learn a word here or there and I say a word, like, I forget that I'm Australian when I'm around the group. I'm all in the Kiwi. So, yeah, it's so special and it is deep, and I do want to learn more, and I'm lucky that I've got people around me that are, you know, just immersing me in that. But I am starting to understand and feel that it does help you drive with whatever we're trying to do.
Yeah, it's always lovely to hear, you know, and people are reflecting on that cultural experience, because that's such a big DNA part of the team and a backbone for who the team is and what, you know, the why and what you're playing for. And love that you were able to be part of that and just really embrace wanting to learn, because again, it's such a big part of it. And the fact, and it's great having Mel in there, like you said, as well, kind of helped out that, because, you know, at the end of the day, like, it is sport, it is elite and his high performance, but at the same time, you know, really being able to draw back to why you're there and the identity as a team. Like, whatever happens today, you know, we're still from this beautiful country, and we want to honor that. We want to share that. So, yeah, thinking about that. So you also, in the midst, you are in your home country, and then you guys came over to New Zealand. And seeing the growth of the game in New Zealand has, especially in the women's space, has increased in the last couple of years, which has been fabulous to see. And so just being able, this is the first time that the Toll Friends are home since 2019. So there was a lot going on around that. So, but then you also got to live it and, you know, so we said earlier, be part of this new era, but then you're also, you got to see the fans come in. Just what was that like, you know, watching these girls play at home?
Yeah, it was awesome. The day was awesome. The atmosphere was awesome. It was great that the guys came in and got a win, and then the crowd sometimes in Australia leaves for the women's game and didn't leave for our game and was loud in our game and rode every momentum wave with us. And I know how proud the girls were to be back at home and playing in front of their home fans, getting to play in front of their families, which they haven't done, to get to wear our black jersey, which we love the white, but when we put the black on, there's a different feel. Like, we just, there's something about the black jersey that the little extra, you know, pump up. They were tired. It was game three, but we didn't look like it. So there was clearly something that drove us to be able to push ourselves for another 40 minutes. So we want that to happen more. We want to come home more and play on our home soil and play in front of our fans and continue to build the platform for the girls. And I know the Tauihi League is leading the way in that. And it's hard. We're trying to recruit back here for WNBL, and, you know, players are leaving us and we're going to play in the New Zealand League, which is great. So it's making that tougher. And it's annoying, but it's also, like, at the same time, I'm like, suck on both. Like, yes, go. Yeah, play there. But, you know, there's his twos. But it's great. The girls are getting a choice. They're not just having to go there because they have to go there. You know, there's some that have said no to playing here in Australia to go over to New Zealand. And I love that. And I love that it's being driven there, and it's getting better and better and better. You know, the Tauihi League gets great imports. I want to see our New Zealanders play a little bit more, but they get great big name imports. So if we can continue to showcase, you know, our homegrown talent, the lat league's only going to get better, which is only going to help us. So, you know, the more court time, the more minutes they play, the connections, if there's squad members within teams, it's only going to help us get better. And yeah, it's tough. It's great that it's growing. Again, it's tough for back here, but I'm loving that. Like I said, the girls are getting choice to be pros, and they get to choose where they want to go. And I love that for them.
I just want to ask you something about that. You know, you were saying before that the Kiwi culture, you know, really hit for you. And now we're seeing that a lot of players are choosing to stay and play in New Zealand. Do you think that that combination, the culture and actually staying and playing longer in New Zealand, is actually going to help create more bonds between the players that ultimately is going to be helpful to the Toll Ferns?
100%. Absolutely. And I don't know. Rumours, I hear some of them going to play with each other at different teams. You know, Mel's with a team. We're even losing Aussies from here to go and play in New Zealand because, you know, one, the culture's great. It's a beautiful country. You know, the league's getting better. So, it, like I said, it's only going to get better. Do I want to see them playing more on the floor? Absolutely. I understand the rapid league's a great thing, and I really love that concept. But I think our talent is growing, that they've got to start getting more minutes in that league. I think they will. And I just can think it's going to continue to help us grow. And it helps my job because they're improving over 3 months in tough competition, you know, against each other. So they're playing against each other, but they're also around each other as well, which is great as well.
Yeah, you're right. I think that development outside of what you can facilitate is really important for your future. And I think that's going to be probably quite key between now and your Asia Cup. And Asia Cup, notoriously a tough tournament. There's no easy opposition in the Asia Cup. And then obviously there's a lot of pressure riding on the qualification coming from that. So what would you say are some, like, key takeaways from the Trans-Tasman? Hopefully you have more time to prepare. Realistically, probably not, to be fair. But, and then, yeah, I don't know what the squad is going to be like. But I guess in terms of style of play and things like that? What are some key takeaways?
Yeah, look, we want to continue to be physical defensively, I think, in the quarter court, but we want to, like I said before, extend that up the floor. I know we're mobile enough to be able to do that because even our bigs are mobile. You know, we've got the likes of, you know, Retoria coming back in, who she's 6'5", but that kid can move as well. So the style that we implemented wasn't just for Trans-Tasman. It's something that we want to continue to build on as we continue to bring or not bring, I don't know, what the squad's going to look like in the next couple of years, players back in. The prep for Asia Cup, we will land in China and have a week. The selection, you know, process, we haven't gone through that yet. We'll be going through that, you know, this week, and, you know, hopefully we'll be able to announce our team in the next couple of weeks, which is, you know, exciting. What that looks like for us right now is it's up in the air because, you know, there's three different coaches, there's a convener, there's a panel, there's all that kind of stuff that we need to go through to make sure that we've got our process down pat. But again, we'll have a week, we'll add what we can, we'll do everything pre that we can. You know, I know all the girls that have been at Trans-Tasman or we're looking to possibly be up for selection. They're all on strength and conditioning programs. They've all got their extra cardio. We're keeping tabs where they're playing right now. If they're not playing, what are they doing? So we've got a lot of, you know, fingers on lots of different places, lots of comms trying to happen now because, you know, it's going to creep up and we're going to be in China and we're going to be at game one and hopefully prepped enough to, I know everyone says we just need to beat Indonesia, but I'm a lot more competitive than that and we want to go for Korea in the first game.
Yeah, I love that. And I don't think that's far-fetched at all. And I think that would be such a great development for our country to see. And yeah, you're definitely not far off. Like you said, don't know who the squad's going to be, but I'd say that Trans-Tasman was a pretty good showing of, you know, what these guys can achieve and what you can achieve as well. So yeah, I think a lot of encouragement for you. So how are you feeling like going into your first Asia Cup as a head coach? It must be slightly daunting, but you know, you've got a lot of backing behind you. Like I said, we've got full confidence in you and from what the girls have said, they do as well.
Yeah, I think I'm excited, actually. I want to know, you know, I want to get our squad done. I want to, you know, even the ones that you know, don't come or miss out or however you want to put it, it doesn't mean forever. It just means for right now. We're going to take the best squad that we know will get us to the next round, and that's exactly what we want to do. We're focused on getting to the next round. I'm nervous, but there's no point being nervous now. I just want to make sure that we get all the pre-prep, as much prep as we can get done. So that's just all I'm focused on, is making sure that I give everyone enough information or give them enough resources for right now to make sure that when we do land in China, yeah, we've only got a week, but we feel okay about that.
You know, it's just really making, you know, the most out of the time that you can have. And I know, knowing you, you're going to do everything you can control. As if it is, it is international basketball at the end of the day, you never know what can happen. But no doubt that, you know, you guys will go into it preparing as much as you can, doing as well as you can. I don't like to think nobody's going and thinking, oh, they're just going to do willy-nilly whatever, because that is certainly not the case. There's smart decisions behind it, and there's got to be, but there's lessons in a way, because even though, you know, again, what's happened with the Trans-Tasman throwdown, I mean, there's a lot of learning lessons to be had there, so it's not like you guys are coming in with nothing. So now it's just kind of one more thing under your belt to take on board and say, okay, like, how can we work on that and then do with what we have, you know, before we go to China?
Yeah, like I said, I think we laid not a bad foundation in the Trans-Tasman, something to build on. I think, too, it goes to show that I want girls to make themselves available for the Ferns, whether it's a Trans-Tasman, a camp, an Asia Cup. I think it's going to be tougher as, you know, the next couple of years go on, because we do have, I think our depth chart is building out. We want to see these guys together. We want to get more camps where we do have an extended squad, because I feel like the talent pool is bigger and getting bigger and bigger. And these positions that these girls are fighting for are going to become tougher and tougher. So there is going to be that level of, we need to be doing the work outside. And that's just not the players, that's on us as well, to make sure that we give the girls enough resources to be able to put their best foot forward, one, to be selected, and two, to get to a tournament and feel like they're prepped as much as they can. So like I said, we laid a great foundation. We've got to now select the best squad that we feel like can get us to where we need to get to next, and we have to continue to build. It's just the start. We can't rest on, yay, we pushed the Opals. Yay, we pushed the Opals. That's great. That's done now. We want to take the great feeling from that, but we can definitely are not resting on what we did a couple of weeks ago.
I was going to ask you, you know, you said that you've got a week in China before the competition starts. Compared to the amount of time you had to prep for the Trans-Tasman throwdown, how much more relaxed do you feel about the fact that you've got that, you know, a week in country to kind of get acclimatized, get used to the time zones, get used to the weather, the humidity and all the rest of it? From your perspective as a coach, how comfortable do you feel about having that extra time?
For the girls, probably good. For me, I'm like, we need this, slow. It's not long enough. I would love another week. The girls would not like that because then they know how much they'd be on the floor training. But I think there's never enough time for a coach, but definitely for the girls to get acclimatized to, you know, like you said, the weather, time difference, the food, what you can, what you can't eat, where you should, shouldn't go, how much rest you need, and just getting their bodies generally feeling good going into game one. We have a couple more days. In saying that, we still have a lot of work to do pre that, but I keep reminding them it's okay. We're not going to be on tour days when we get to China. We're going to, you know, coach will be okay, coach will chill. Well, they won't get smacked as much around. So there's never enough time for a coach, but I am happy that, you know, the girls do get a couple of extra days to you know, feel themselves before we head into game one.
And say, you know, you talked about giving the Tall Ferns a platform and you've been, you know, very passionate about doing that. You've spoken about that, which is wonderful. So would love to know, what is your message to fans and how can they support the team as you guys go into the future?
I just think it's about embracing what the girls are doing, how far they've come as individuals, what they've done is that, and how I think it's about understanding that how they feel when they put on the Tall Ferns jersey and represent the country that the way that they do. No one takes it lightly. So, but I think we need to continue to come home and be in front of people. We need to get the girls out there a lot more, and not just what they do in basketball, but them as people. We need to showcase them more. How we do that, I don't know, not in marketing. But I would love to see that more. And my social media is terrible as well, so I can't even do that for them. But, you know, I think there's ways now that their name is starting to get out there, but we don't want it to just be it's once a year or it's a once of, you know, every couple of years. How do we continue to drive and showcase their talent to everybody? Again, I don't know how we do that. But we're off to an okay start, and we need to figure out ways that we continue to put ourselves in front of our fans and give back to our fans as well. They're there supporting us. We want to make sure we're doing the right thing by them as well.
Do you think that there should be more opportunities for the players to play as the Tall Ferns in New Zealand, even though it may not be against, like, say, a national team? So, you know, for example, have a game against, you know, say the winners of the Filipino championship or something like that, so that even though it's not a true international, it's giving the team an opportunity to be able to play together and get that name out in front of the New Zealand population.
Yeah, more camps and more games in New Zealand. I think we just saw with the men's, the Philippines would probably be a pretty good country to come up against the...
Yeah.
So, you know, and like create some other rivalries with some other countries. It was great, the Trans-Tasman, and you know, reviving that rivalry with the Aussie team. Awesome. We want to continue to build that. But can we start some other rivalries with some other countries and bring them on our home soil and play against them? And, you know, I think the more we can showcase the girls, it doesn't matter who against. The competition is irrelevant. We just got to get them out there.
Look, if you want a good fan base to play in front of, you should definitely play the Philippines. Gosh, that is by far the loudest basketball gym I've ever been in my life.
Of course, right? The fans.
Yeah, they were waiting outside like 4 hours before the doors opened. You never see that in New Zealand basketball. So yeah, I'm behind that idea.
Whoever's listening right now, let's go. We need to get it.
Yeah, we'll get this little clip out and we'll send it to everybody.
Thanks.
Good idea.
Yeah, brilliant.
Okay, so as we start to kind of get to the back end of this, there's one other thing that I really wanted to ask you, Nat, and you know, you've coached the WNBL, and obviously there's differences between leagues in terms of talent and intensity. How do you find the intensity of, say, you know, those really tough, tough WNBL rivalries with the intensity of the rivalry that you were seeing between the Opals and New Zealand at the Trans-Tasman Throwdown?
They're probably not too different. I think a rivalry and a tough opposition is a tough opposition and a rivalry. To be fair, I haven't had a team play as hard for me as the Ferns did, and I loved every part of it. That's the kind of style that I want, the physicality that I want. You know, I want us to beat teams up in a good way. I loved how we played that. That is how I maybe it's me, maybe it's my learning, maybe it's because I've, you know, had a couple of years now and maybe I can teach a little bit better, but the toughness that we showed is the teams that I want to coach, and that's how I want my teams to play. So maybe my coaching is getting there to start to see that kind of come in and see it on the floor. So, yeah, that's – rivalries are great. I love tough games. But, again, I think as a whole, that's probably what I was proud about the most, is I was like, yes, that's how I want my teams to – that's how tough I want my teams. And I didn't have to – beg or call anything for it. The girls just jumped on board with the physicality, and it's okay. Nat said I can hit someone with my armbar, and when I box them out, if I get a foul, that's okay. So I think the fact that they jumped on that, that's what I love the most about it, is just how tough they played and how physical they were, and I loved watching us play like that, and that's how I want my teams to play. So I was probably proud about that one the most, is maybe my message is finally getting across, is the kind of style that I want.
Awesome. Okay, guys, I really want to thank you. It's been a lot of fun and really interesting listening to you talking about, you know, the Tall Ferns and different perspectives that you've brought to this. I actually can't wait to see what happens with the Asia Cup. It's going to be really interesting to see. And, you know, I think any teams that have had the opportunity to look at the Trans-Tasman Throwdown that are going to be playing against you are going to have to really think carefully, because I suppose one of the things that's really interesting is the younger players also tend to be a little bit try to play in an unexpected way as well. You know, there's that youthful kind of, hey, let's, like you said, hey, let's try this, let's try that. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see how it pans out. Can't wait to see how it goes and how the Tall Ferns progress, not only in this competition, but also over the next few years.
Yeah, thank you. Like I said, we got a long ways to go. You know, Trans-Tasman was great for us, because I think it helped us go, yeah, we're on the right track. We're getting the right pieces. And to be fair, we've got a lot of talent that wasn't with us. There's a lot of talent still that you didn't see in the Trans-Tasman that we weren't able to tap into. So, again, that creates great competition within our squad to make teams, which is what you want, right? You want, you know, and I think it's been what the Opals have had, you know, years after years after years, is, you know, A team, B team, C team, whatever they roll out there, there's competition for every single spot, and we're starting to see that, and I love it. And again, there's a lot of talent, like I said, we haven't seen. We saw a lot. We've built a foundation. It's just about finding the right pieces to bring in when we do. But, you know, I hope that we take the confidence that we had in Trans-Tasman and bring that to the Asia Cup and do what we need to do to get ourselves to the next round and, you know, continue to build that way. Small steps, but exciting steps.
Yeah, I think it's really exciting, having been a young girl playing basketball, now a young coach and broadcaster in New Zealand of the sport. It's very inspiring to see how we've come and the pathway that we've paved. And I think, like, we're very lucky to have someone like you who believes so much and is, you know, really wholeheartedly invested in it. So I appreciate you for that, and yeah, and thank you so much for coming on and chatting to us as well.
Loved it. Yeah, I appreciate you guys.
Oh yeah, and on the back of that, it's just somebody who's watched the Ferns for a while now and watching New Zealand basketball grow over time. It's, you know, seeing just time who's come through and what the team stands for. Again, it's just an FMI. It's really heartening and really good to see somebody like yourself come in, who's also inspirational in your own right, and lead this team and help lead and inspire girls all around the world, really. I mean, with no doubt the ones in Australia are watching you, and no doubt the ones in New Zealand are watching you. Thank you again. It's been a lot of fun. Been looking forward to this.
Thanks, guys. I hope we can live up to some of that. But again, I just appreciate the support. You guys definitely gave me a boost, you know, pre-Trans-Tasman, and you know, we'll continue to get behind our, you know, our girls now. And I know that we're going to be in a good spot. So I just appreciate all the support.
Nat, thanks so much for your time. Maya, Lyndon, as always, it's great having you on. And I also want to give a special shout out to all our international listeners, because we'd actually get a lot of international listeners from all around the world. And, you know, I hope that it gives an opportunity to get the word about the Tall Ferns out there to a whole lot of other people who haven't had a chance to watch them play. So, guys, thanks so much. It's been great having you on the show.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you get our latest pod. And we really appreciate if we could get a like and a review so we can extend the reach to more listeners. And don't forget, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.